Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Digital Audio Health by Cymatrax.
Welcome to the Rhonda Grant Show with your host, Rhonda Grant. If you believe that there is more to life than what you see right now, and you want to find out more, listen in as her guests share their journey and their extraordinary experiences. Now, here is your host, Rhonda Grant.
Welcome to the Rhonda Grant Show. Sometimes the universe has a way of placing people or obstacles in your path to help guide and direct you on your mission. Listen in as we discover the path my guest has traveled. Has he been inspired by a calling, crafted his journey, or a bit of both? I invite you to embrace the conversations and to use them to help you recognize if this is happening in your life. Our guest today is Alan Brunton, who is a visionary developer and founder and CEO of Cymatrax. Alan is the developer of a software platform aimed at enhancing optimal performance and human potential through targeted frequencies in digital audio, which results in healthier body, mind, spirit, and environment. Sound software for sound lifestyles. Welcome back to the Rhonda Grant Show, Alan.
Thank you very much. I feel so honored to be here for a second time. It's just, there's so much to be talking about and to be able to share with people.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Well, yeah, this is your second time here. And so what is it that got you into this type of technology and out of the box thinking?
Well, That actually has a couple of different things. I mean, I used to be an audio engineer, and I did that because I used to sing opera. And also, I was a restaurateur and opened so many different restaurants that I produced my own television cooking show and had some audio problems. So that's what led me to be an audio engineer. But to think about even that type of artistic work takes me all the way back to when I was growing up in Amarillo, Texas. My father was an inventor. He was electrochemical engineer, and he lost his hearing when he was 3 years old. So he was pretty much a thinker that couldn't communicate with other people. So he communicated with himself and examined so many different things and possibilities. So he invented so many different things, like an electric milking machine, lights into lures for fishing, hearing aids built into the temples of glasses. But he really got serious into the science of technology whenever he started looking at writings of Nikola Tesla. And Tesla was a huge influence on him because, like I said, my father was an electrochemical engineer. Well, that's pretty much what Tesla did, was electricity and energy. So during the 60s and 70s and 80s, he developed three major different technology uses of high voltage that were so successful that our federal government shut him down three different times. Back in the 60s, he created a process using high voltage that would create anhydrous ammonia out of the air and immediately put that into the ground, which was undercutting Dow Chemical by 92%. So somebody from Dow sent a lobbyist to Washington, and they alerted the FDA and said, no, you're dealing with a food source. It's going to take you 6 years to be able to bring this about and get approval to use this as a fertilizer for people. So let us know whenever you do your trials. So Dad said, it's going to take too long. So in the next decade, he had created smaller units using or producing and manufacturing Tesla coils, but he was producing ozone generators. And people know that ozone actually will kill bacteria. So in Amarillo, Texas, we applied that to treating cattle. And whenever they had pneumonia, shipping fever, they would go into a sick pen and they would breathe in the ozone created from these generators that were hung into semi-enclosed sick pens. And that was in 1974. We were so successful at that we had installed about 33 units, and we had a 6-month back order. We couldn't make these things fast enough. And so we put them into Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And one July morning, went to work, and there were padlocks and chains on our plant shop and a notice from the FDA that said cease and desist. And they had gone out and on a Friday evening, broken into our plant and gone to the files and found out where every single machine had been installed, had gone out then on Saturday and Sunday and confiscated every machine and threatened to put us all in jail if we continued to make those things. So, I mean, we found out what had happened was that we were undercutting Big Pharma and the need for antibiotics for the cattle. And the cattle were using 85% less antibiotics whenever they were breathing in the ozone. And so what had happened there was Big Pharma sent a lobbyist to Washington and they gave a written out bill to a congressman who said, what is this? And the lobbyist said, don't worry about it. Just attach it to another bill that is going to pass. No one will question it. Well, in basically what that bill said was it was against the interstate transport of ozone. And people didn't know what it was, so they got a law passed against shipping it across the state lines. And we weren't really even shipping ozone because the life of ozone is only 3 minutes long. But that was enough for them to go out and confiscate our work. Today, you can buy an ozone generator at, you know, your at any mall. And then in the early or late 70s, early 80s, the thing that actually stopped my father's work was he was getting 85 miles per gallon on a 1971 Ford F-100 pickup truck using a Tesla coil and other technology combined with that. And well, let's just say that there were people that did not want that technology to come out. And so he was forced to shut that down as well. So I got to see things, and that's the way I look at things. You know, when you're driving down a highway and you see one of those green and white signs that says, you know, the distance to Montreal or to Chicago, how many miles it is, I look at it and read that. But then again, I think, okay, if I was to take that sign off of the poles holding it up, what can I use that for? Well, you put 255 gallon drums under it, you can use it as a table. Mm-hmm. Or you can bend it into a 90 degree angle and use it as a shelter. I mean, that's just the way I look at things. I see things around and like sitting on my shelf right now is a big red wine glass. And I go, okay, what could I use that for? Well, I could actually use it for a goldfish bowl. I mean, it's really that big. Or I could put M&Ms in it, or, you know, you can use things for so many different purposes. And that's what happened with me whenever I came across the information about sound and specific frequencies and how that they would actually affect the brain and in a way that we need to be able to understand that specific frequencies and how they're combined can hinder your learning ability and put you to sleep, not just even sleeping, but shuts down and slows down so many other avenues and functionality of the body, like slows down your respiratory, slows down your heart rate, slows down the glands in your body from producing essential chemicals. It's just amazing. So that's where I came up with the Cymatrax technology, was because I said, okay, I listen to digital music all the time. Where is a piece of software that I can use that will filter out the volume of frequencies that are actually putting me to sleep so I can have more clarity and more energy? And people looked at me and said, well, that's never been produced. And I said, well, okay, I'll do it. And so that's what my journey has been over the past 7 to 8 years, is finding ways to be able to find someone that can actually write my code. And then it took another 3 years to get it patented. So no, it's a way that's going to change the world and raise the human potential, elevating our capability of the information processing that our brains can do.
Mm-hmm. But when people listen to, let's say, a podcast, they don't hear the white noise, but their brain recognizes the white noise and the cells in their body recognize that. And that's what puts you to sleep. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. The brain is pretty well. Let's just look at it this way. The brain does not recognize white noise as the words white noise. White noise is actually a combination of millions of frequencies that are all next to each other, especially, I mean, most likely or in digital audio. So you're looking, and let's just say at 440 hertz, 441 hertz, 442 hertz, etc. And as you put all of those together, it sounds like rushing water because it's so close together. And that's where you get the static sound. And so whenever you can find a way of, or what the brain does then is it recognizes all of that. So when you're talking about white noise, even on a very low line level, and people do add white noise to be able to soften the edges of the timbre of recordings. It's at a low level. So it's like adding a fabric softener to your sheets. You know, you can subtly feel it, but if you don't take that fabric softener out, okay, so you sleep better. Well, that's what happens with white noise in digital audio. It puts you to sleep. The brain recognizes each and every individual frequency within white noise. And so when you're running a computer and it's running, let's say, 3 or 4 major programs at once, instead of even the operating system programs, everything's fine until you upload huge amounts of data. And then it slows processing of all the other programs in there. And so in the case of listening to digital audio and what the brain does, it slows down your respiratory, it slows down your heart rate, which people say, okay, yeah, it's relaxing me. And it gives me a way to re-energize myself. No, it does not. It actually takes away from the subconscious programming of the functionality of what your entire system does. Mm-hmm. It slows down your capabilities of your glands to produce essential chemicals that you need to optimize your health. So if you reduce the volume of white noise found in digital audio, then you're able to increase the potential of the brain. There is a local television station, ABC affiliate here in Dallas, Texas, WFAA, and I spoke with one of their program producers about my technology, and he said, well, what you're doing is absolutely brilliant, but we can't use it at the station because we do just the opposite. We add white noise to our audio, knowing that it's going to put the viewer in a type of hypnotic trance so they won't reach for the remote, so that they won't change the station, so our Nielsen ratings go up, so we can charge more to the client. We have a bigger market share. And out of chance, 6 months later, I met a director at Nielsen and told him that story. And he looked at me and stared And he agreed and said, yeah, that's what all the networks do. In fact, we have technology to measure how much white noise they're putting in. And I told that to a federal judge one time. And, he got pissed off.
Yes.
He said, somebody needs to put in legislation to be able to stop that shit. That's like the subliminal programming of going to a movie and they'll put in a couple of frames of Coca-Cola to make you get up in the middle of the movie to go buy a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's been laws passed against that, but there's nothing about sound.
Mm-hmm.
And because people just feel like, okay, I'll get over it.
But people don't have an understanding of how critical sound is and clean sound is. I mean, I think on our last show, we talked about the monitor that's put in a baby's room for white yes. noise to actually make them sleep and how dangerous that is.
Yeah. And I have I get so much information from clinical trials every single day about sound and how it's being used and applied in all over in so many different areas for, let's say, Parkinson's or joint healing raise the ability of better blood flow, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the thing about, I think we did talk about this was, you know, the white noise generators that young parents put into the nursery next to the crib so that the child will go to sleep. Well, if you think about that in itself, the child from prenatal up to 6 years old, everything about that child is developing. Mm-hmm. And especially the ways in the child is taught how to think during that time up to 6 years old. From 6 years old, they're told what to think.
Right.
So if you are using all of this extra, I'll just say pollution going in, they don't have a developmental opportunity to go out on their own for all of the nerves to be able to create more avenues to be able to process information. It's all being dumbed down. And so that's the reason why that these trials that I have, even in adults, show that excessive submission of yourself to white noise can cause major harm to your body, like cardiovascular problems when there is plaque buildup in the veins going to the heart. That kind of vibration is actually going to break off some of that plaque within there, and that could actually cause a stroke within your system as the plaque then travels around, or a heart attack. It's really amazing to read this and say, I've been doing this to myself for so many years, I just need to stop or find a better way of doing it. And that's what the Simatrax technology is about. It's not that we're going to change the music way that people hear. It's just we're going to tweak it so that it can be healthier for you. It's like eating organic food. You know, mm-hmm. people go, well, okay, we know that it's better because they're using less chemicals. Well, evaluate that and equate that also then to noise pollution. That's what our technology does, is take away that stuff that does not allow your brain to work in an optimal way.
Mm-hmm. And so you, at a very early age, started singing opera. So you were tuned into, I would think anyway, that, you know, as you, your music progressed, not only did you have to have an ear for the musical instruments, but you also had to have an ear for what other people, where they were singing at the same time that you were singing, right?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, I mean, it's amazing that you are in the business that you're in with, or you've invented Simatrax, an inventor, like following your father's legacy, and being in opera really tunes you into heightened sense and awareness, because as an opera singer you're an athlete, and so your ears are heightened, your sight is heightened and all of that, because you have to listen, hear, watch the conductor, right?
Yeah, I remember so many times being on stage with so many other people singing so many different lines, and for me to find a note that I was supposed to sing and come in on a very, complex arrangement of so many different voices singing at one time, I would have to listen for the orchestra and listen for, let's say, a second flute or a French horn to play a specific note. And, mm-hmm. and I had to listen very intently to be able to come in on that pitch, especially with some of the modern operas, or like Benjamin Britten and others of his time, and Ives, that it was just incredible complexities. So I did focus on understanding and listening to those pitches quite a bit. And I remember going into piano rehearsals before going on stage with an accompanist and opening up an opera score and going through an entire scene, which would include an opera aria, which I'd always have pegged, no problem. But it was the in-between stuff, going from, just walking across a room and singing, "Oh, isn't it a beautiful day outside, the birds are singing," and such, whatever in language, whether it was German, French, Italian. And for some reason, I would stop the accompanist and say, "Let's do that again." And said, "Well, but you're doing it just fine. And this really isn't anything important within the opera." And I said, "Yeah, but it just feels right. It's actually feeling that I need to re-identify and experience again." So we would go back over that 3 or 4 different times. Well, now I understand that the probability of what I was doing was going over specific frequencies of the music that actually connected and facilitated a way of experiencing physically, and when I say physically, I'm also bringing in the word physics. Mm-hmm. The energy that was actually vibrating through my entire body. And it was just amazing. And it wasn't, like I said, until 2009 when I started getting data and information in from clinical trials showing the difference of frequencies and how they move matter and how the great opera composer Giuseppe Verdi made sure that every orchestra that he went and conducted, because he was so popular, was all tuned to a 432 hertz. Well, when a lot of people hear about this, but most people don't realize that the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin tuned to 432 hertz, whereas everybody else is tuning to 440 hertz. And if you look at a cymatic expression, the difference between 440 hertz and 432, it is amazing. And it is just an optical evaluation that you can actually see the difference of how one frequency will move matter into a geometric prism, while 440 hertz just moves and shakes and bounces matter like fine sand on a metal plate.
Mm-hmm. And is that why the human race was so attracted to their music? Is because it made them feel good in their body?
Yeah. If you go all the way back to ancient Greece, and you think about, Aristotle and Socrates and all these people they always had somebody that was, playing a musical instrument, and most of the time it was a lyre, and the lyre itself originally came, I think, with 3 strings, and then it grew to 5 strings, and then to 7, and then 9, and 13, and they decided to bring it back down. Well, the job of the person that was playing that and singing information. Back then, it wasn't just singing a song. It was singing. It was like a way to talk about stories of how conquerors went from one place to another, or a goddess was putting their blessings on the people, on the planet. And they would sing that, but that was their whole job, was to tune that ancient lyre. And they did nothing else but focus on the music production of those ancient instruments. So whenever they could feel it within their entire body, and they were so concentrated, like I was talking about me being able to pinpoint a specific tone or note coming out of the full orchestra playing, that's the way that the ancient Greeks actually started, with using musical instruments to be felt in the body. And that carries through so many examples all the way up into going into, well, like I said, to Verdi in the late 1800s, World War II, the way that Adolf Hitler used the manipulation of frequencies and tuning of concert A to be able to install propaganda into all the people that he was speaking to. So it's just logical, but due to technology and the internet, now that we have the documentation, people are pulling out all these old transcripts. Let's say even the International Standards Organization, we have the information from them that because of the technology that was discovered post-World War II from the and the German people, oh my gosh, Adolf Hitler's scientists were so advanced in doing so many different things. And that's what Adolf Hitler was really fascinated with. I mean, he actually had this you know, mini god complex, sort of like Napoleon. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be able to be a step in science to be able to take over the world. So, with the internet now, then you can find just about anything and see people say, well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. But, you know, you can look at laboratories that have documented and certified laboratories and you okay, I trust this information because they have it fully scaled and documented. Like I said, clinical trials, you hear about people doing trials all the time, but the clinical trials are the ones that are so deeply documented and then certified with a clinical trial number from the federal government. If you look at online streaming media companies for relaxation, like, what is the name of some of those companies? Calm, I believe, is one of those.
Yes.
They're all by subscription and they all play different meditation music or make it even a little bit upbeat or even down. I contacted the top 10 meditation apps, the companies myself, a couple of years ago, about 18 months ago. And I asked to see their clinical trials because they're all making claims that, you know, this is a healthier way to listen. And I said, well, can you show me clinical trials? I said, well, we're going to send you, you know, the trials that we have. And not one of them were clinical trials. They were all trials that they had done, in a very biased environment. So, you know, yeah, we've got trials. We've done them. So people will say, okay, well, I trust this person. Well, do you trust actually where it came from?
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks so professional. I mean, I downloaded and had those meditations for quite some time before I quit because it just put me to sleep.
Yeah.
And
now you know why it put you to sleep.
Now I know, but you see, the mainstream doesn't know that. I mean, the general public doesn't know that's what's going on. You're listening to the Rhonda Grant Show right now, whose podcast has been treated with digital audio health by my sponsor, Symetrex. And today, our guest, Alan Brenton, is the developer, founder, and CEO of Symetrex. How may people contact you, Alan?
Oh my gosh. We have hundreds of podcasts that we have run through our technology. I just got finished speaking with someone over in Ireland that wants to take this globally. Well, actually, I made an offer to say, well, let's talk further about taking it not just to Ireland, but to the UK and even all the way over to Eastern Europe, if you would like to go that route. And so he and I are talking about it. I mean, today alone, what is it? It's almost 11 a.m. here in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. I've already been on four calls.
And, incredible.
You know, one of those was like for an hour and a half. Lots of times I'll get up and start work answering emails by 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then lots of times I don't finish work until 5 or 6 at night. And it's an ongoing thing. It's I don't have complete freedom on the weekends because I'm always answering emails from people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. You're very busy with it. So with that said, how has the pandemic changed, enhanced your business?
Well, it's actually making people a lot more aware of what they're subjecting themselves to. Number one, you know, people are just so tired of being locked in place. And so the Zoom calls are coming out and getting people together, but it's not like being in front of the other person, because it is manufactured sound and video quality. So even Forbes came out with an article back in 2020 that right after so many people were using, let's say, Zoom calls, and Forbes' article was, why are you dealing with, or what is causing Zoom fatigue?
Right.
And their article then also stated it's because of poor sound quality.
Okay.
And so many people don't understand that, you know, if you're using these $10 earbuds that you get at the dollar store, yeah, the only good thing that is to cause stress. The higher quality playback of any type of digital audio, you know, is what you are actually going to experience yourself. I mean, you can go out and get a hamburger at McDonald's, or you can actually go get a filet mignon at a really nice steakhouse. Mm-hmm. It's both beef, you know?
Apparently.
But, yeah. Well, yeah, well, we hope it is.
Yeah.
At McDonald's. But, you know, it's all about the experience and defining yourself into a different environment and controlling, being aware of all the sounds around you. Lots of times I talk to people about, let's say when a child goes off to college, most of the colleges will require that child to live on campus and stay in a dormitory for their mm-hmm. freshman year. Mm-hmm. And most of the time in a dormitory, the nightstand next to a person's bed is a portable refrigerator, a small mini fridge. And they get their light on there and their notes and you know, soft drinks inside of there. And they're sitting on their bed and they're trying to study. And they just don't realize that little generator inside inside of that mini fridge that's running, even if it's very soft, is still noise that you are submitting and frequencies and sound that you are submitting to take away from the processing ability of the brain. I mean, everywhere you go, you get into a car, you're driving down the road, well, you've got road noise mm-hmm. going from your tires onto the pavement or other cars driving by you into a different direction. The brain is actually working to be able to process what is that noise, what are those frequencies, and takes away from your cognitive ability.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people are driving, you slip into a trance. And it's because of the background noise that you're hearing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably the major portion of it. You look at, there was a study that was actually done over in Europe. And I'm trying to remember exactly what country it is. I've got the study somewhere. It was in India, that showed the detriment of the digestive system within truck drivers. And they pinpointed it to the problem was caused not just by the vibration of the truck engine itself, but because of the sound of driving all the time and the continued engine noise, that it was very detrimental to all of their health and was causing poor digestive systems. And their recommendation was to soundproof the cab for the truck drivers. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because people think, okay, it's going to cost, $10,000 to soundproof the interior of a cabin of a truck? Mm-hmm. Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But it's hypnotic. And yes. The sound is hypnotic. And lots of times people will be driving from the office home, not as much during the pandemic, and they arrive, at a stop sign right close to their house, and they almost like wake up and say, geez, like, did I stop at the other stop sign?
Yes.
Because they're in a hypnotic trance. And yes. It is the sound of the car, the sound of the and the vibration and all of that sort of takes you, below thought.
Yeah. And think of this. Whenever you're driving somewhere and you're looking for an address number, what's the first thing you do? You slow down and you turn down your car radio.
Why are you doing that when you need your eyes?
Or remember when you were very young and you're in the back seat with a sibling and you're cutting up and laughing and giggling and mom's not, and all this kind of noise is going on. And whoever is driving will turn around and say, be quiet. I can't think with all that noise going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't understand. That is so literally true.
Yes.
You can't think in an optimized way with all this noise pollution going on.
It's noise pollution.
Mm-hmm. And that noise pollution is found in all digital audio.
Yes. And so has the pandemic taken your business from America and you're speaking globally now?
Yeah.
Around the world?
It's really amazing. Because before the pandemic, I was just starting my company and I put myself into small little incubator groups that were also startups and people that were producing things like a more efficient way for your camera and audio to work on your doorbell camera system. And I'm going, just think about what the limitation of the market is. And it's just, for me, a quick way to make a buck. But now then understanding the science and the neurological aspects of sound and the way it affects the brain and people that don't realize that they can become smarter. And I don't know if I talked about my Mensa testing that I got involved with back in 2009, but you need to be able to understand that every single cell in your body is affected by chemicals, heat, light, and sound. And we understand that sound and specific frequencies will travel more efficiently through the entire central nervous system, while others just sit there and vibrate and take away from your cognitive ability.
Alan, do you feel that you've been called to your journey?
Well, it's funny to be able to define that as being called. I mean, I'm going, okay, who's calling? Well, in thinking about from the inside out, I'm guessing that this feels like it should be something that I should do for the rest of my life, that I understand that the human evolution includes the understanding of what we can do to facilitate and optimize what the potential is. I mean, we have all kinds of documentation of things like ESP and telekinesis and remote viewing, but we don't know how to facilitate that. So let's explore more ways of using our brain into an optimal way. And so that's part of what I have done in creating this, and I will do this. And I mean, there's just so many ways that we can use sound. Theoretically, as I have spoken with other neurologists about this, they have said, well, I've told them that, you know, we can use sound and pinpoint it and amplify it to do things like change the structure or elongate the telomeres at the end of DNA, which would actually be a precursor for longer life. Mm-hmm. Or we can go inside of the DNA where the switches are, where people that have a disease, let's say cancer, and we can turn that switch off. Because there's so many examples of people that do have the cancer gene, but they don't have cancer. Why is that? Well, the switch is off. And so if we can find ways to use sound to be able to keep those off instead of relying on big pharma to fill our bodies with chemicals that make our left arm fall off, or, you know, it puts new moles on our forehead and that kind of stuff, you know, that would be just great. Let's use something that is natural.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. What extraordinary discovery have you found in your life?
Oh my gosh. Well, the extraordinary discovery is, you know, it has to be what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I wake up with gratitude every single morning. When I swing my legs out of bed, I look at the bedroom door and I go, I get to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy that gets to bring this technology to the world. I see it as one of the best opportunities. And, you know, with this type of technology, helping people think better, it's just going to revolutionize what everybody else is doing in so many other areas of human consciousness and how we're going to become better human beings.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. The health benefits are incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, on the last show, we have trials going on at James Madison University. The head of neurobiology at University of Alabama, Birmingham, as well as a leading pediatric neurologist at University of Texas Southwest Medical Center Children's Hospital, both have asked to oversee using our technology in clinical trials for autism.
And fantastic.
Then, yeah, other neurologists said, well, if what you're describing then works for autism, it should work for PTSD, ADHD, stroke, dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Yeah, it's just a way of optimizing what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being on the show again, Alan. It's wonderful to listen to you speak about Sinotrax and the great work that you're doing with it. And so thank you so much.
It's been my sincere pleasure to do this. And you know, anytime that I can help, you know, the work that you're doing is so wonderful. I listen to your podcast and just believe that you are one of those special people that takes time out and from your heart and pushes forward ways of other people to be better themselves. So thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for the interview. And thank you for being you.
Thank you so much. Theme song for The Rhonda Grant Show, Sun on the Water, is composed and performed by my friend John Park Wheeler. This is Rhonda Grant with The Rhonda Grant Show, author of Magical Forces Within, Extraordinary Discoveries in an Ordinary Life, inviting you to look for the magical forces within yourself today and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rhonda Grant Show with your host, Rhonda Grant. If you would like to find out more information about Rhonda and her upcoming guests and the work that she does, go to her website, rhondagrantauthor.com. That's rhondagrantauthor.com.
Digital Audio Health by Cymatrax.